What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is good to be back. Hey, clones, what's going on? Nice to have you here. And I'd like to reiterate, it is great to be back. Broadcasting live from the Quicken Loan Studios, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Welcome to the jungle. Had my two-week run. I feel great. Lots to get done. Lots to cover. If you know what you want to talk about, you want to hit me right now. You know that phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Do not wait on me. If you want to talk about Tiger Woods, do it now. If you want to talk Brooks Koepka, do that now. Anything relating to the NFL preseason. Lots of news in college football. I know I missed a lot while I was down in the basement for the past 2 weeks, so let's get this thing going. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. You know, I feel great. Normally, after a two-week run, there is a little bit of rust to knock off, but I feel like I'm in the right spot. Lots to get to. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I've got Jim Trotter. Works for the NFL Network and NFL.com. He joins us in 15 minutes. Hour number two, Trevor Price, 15-year NFL vet, two-time Super Bowl winner, lots of takes on lots of different things. He joins me in the second hour. Also in hour number two, a two-time NL MVP, 18-year MLB vet, Dale Murphy. Third hour's wide open. Where are you clones at? Come and get some. 1-800-636-8686. I must be real. We all appreciate each other a hell of a lot more after I go away for 2 weeks. And I'm always curious about the first tweet, the first email, the first phone call after that big summer break. And yes, I've got details and stories to share from my run to Wisconsin and to Colorado. Wisco clones, you outdid yourselves. Man, that is such an awesome state. We had so much fun in Wisconsin. So I'll break that down for you a little bit later on. All right, let me start first with the PGA Championship. The 100th PGA Championship, not too bad, right? Not too bad at all. In fact, it was so good, there's a question as to where I would start today. In other words, do I start with the guy who won, or do I start with the guy who finished second? And I think what I'm going to do is what nobody else is doing and start with the guy who won. Because while there might not be a better story than Tiger Woods yesterday, there is no better player right now than Brooks Koepka. And if you did not know that before, you know it now. Overlook Koepka, and pretty much everybody is right now, do it at your own risk. And know this guy loves it. He lives for it. It's rocket fuel for him. He wants you to do it. Tiger is getting a hell of a lot more run this morning than Koepka, and you know Brooks is all about that. As I tweeted last night, Woods will get all that run, and then Koepka will come out of that major with an even bigger chip on his shoulder than the one he had going into it. You know, the guy who's won two of the last three majors, the guy who's won three of the last six that he's played in, the guy who was about to win the Player of the Year award in a year when he wasn't even sure that he'd be able to play because of a wrist injury. The guy who went from one PGA Tour win to a member of the Hall of Fame in the last 14 months. That guy. And it's a guy who runs on the craziest fuel ever. This is the same guy that was pissed at the U.S. Open when the Golf Channel did not include his score on a list of, quote, notables. And he was on fire Thursday after nobody wanted to talk to him after his first round. And as he said after the third round, he was bummed after people ignored him and focused on Dustin Johnson at the gym on Saturday. He said, quote, I use it as motivation. Hell yes, he does. And here's more truth from Brooks. Quote, you can't hide when you're at the top of the leaderboard. You can't hide my name. End quote. So what this guy is saying is what I've said all along. He is the walking, talking, living, breathing embodiment of leaderboard. Look up at it. Listen, this is not the guy most people root for. He's not the guy who anybody wanted to win yesterday. He knows that. He feeds off that. He's not only the most overlooked guy in his own sport, he's one of the most overlooked guys in any sport ever. And let's get one more thing out of the way about this guy. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you're only focused on this guy's arms and his drives and how much he benches, you're focused on the wrong thing, because Koepka is not one of those lunatics that you see on the longest drive competition reruns. This guy's got the whole package. I mean, yeah, he can bomb it like he did with that 330-yard drive on 15. But it was just as much about his putt on 15 as it was that drive. And it was just as much about the fact that he chased it with a perfect tee shot on 16 that stopped within 6 feet of the cup for another birdie to slam the door on the rest of the field. It's not about how big this guy's guns are. It's about the fact that the bigger the stage, the better this dude plays. The higher the stakes, the more unbeatable he is. And yesterday was as much about what led to that door slam as the slam itself. Because Koepka had looks to end it earlier, and he didn't do it. He had a number of birdie looks that did not go. And for most golfers, panic would have set in, especially when Tiger birdied 15 and the world nearly lost its mind. I mean, it's one thing to keep calm on the back nine of a major on a Sunday. It's quite another to do it when Tiger is doing what Tiger did yesterday and the entire world is freaking out over it. The roars were epic. It would have brought most other guys to their knees. But Koepka, man, this cat didn't even blink. He birdies 15 himself, then he chases it with another. Didn't panic when the putts weren't falling, and then dropped them when he had to have them. I mean, this dude is clutch. This dude is calm. And yes, there was that drive on 18 also.
A little bit of cut.
Oh, it's just gone.
My goodness.
It's just gone.
I mean, you check that reaction. I mean, there were like no words, just silence. This guy's firing rockets like that, the kind that you dream about hitting on the range. But this guy's doing it on the 72nd hole of a major. After the round, Tiger kept talking about Koepka's driving distance, 340 in the air, 340 in the air. And that's pretty much all you can do when you watch a guy like that dominate in pressure situations like that. I'd ask if this guy had a pulse, but I know the answer. He doesn't. You can't if you're going to rip this title with Tiger and Adam Scott right behind you. Now, the cliche would be to say that the best part of Koepka's game isn't his driver, it's his mind. But it's true. It really is. Because when the pressure is at its highest, this guy's at his best. Stone cold, locked in. He went out and played yesterday like he was losing, even though he was winning. He even tapped in quickly and finished before playing partner Adam Scott on 18 and then had next to no reaction whatsoever. Like he expected it, because he did, and now the rest of you should too. You should also expect that he's going to notice all the run that Tiger is getting out of this. Like, for instance, he was respectful of Tiger and he hyped him, but don't get it twisted. Koepka will notice, and somehow he'll not only come out of yesterday with a massive trophy, but an even bigger chip on his shoulder. Think about that for a minute. A guy who's won 3 majors in 14 months, and he's going to be more motivated than ever. Look the hell out. Again, Tiger is the better story. Koepka is the better player. And everybody else out there is now looking up at this dude because this guy's a monster. A monster. 3 majors, 14 months, 28 years of age. From 1 win to the Hall of Fame in less than a year and a half. Now, as far as Tiger, I need more time for this, but I was really impressed. I really like what I saw from him. I never thought that guy would be in this position ever again, and there he is. Here he is. Here we are. I'm not saying it's a question of if rather than a matter of when, but maybe. Never thought that I would see this guy in this position, and it was pretty cool to see. Pretty awesome to see. 1-800-636-8686. But duly note this, if you would. I started with Koepka. I started with the guy who won, not the guy who came in second. But the guy who came in second will get his own take a little bit later on. That's coming up. Other things to cover. Very different vacation. I'm not going to lead with this, obviously. I've got a lot of golf I want to get to. I want to talk NFL preseason. Some really bad news. Bad news in college football that I want to hit on. I've got some really good guests coming up. But I did just take 2 weeks off, right? You know, and back in the day, I wouldn't come back and spend much time on the vacation, but because I went to a spot, a couple of spots where the jungle is really, really strong, especially Wisconsin, I got to share my thoughts on that. I had not been to Madison since the tour stop back in the day, and I had to think about that for a minute, but the tour stop was actually way back in 2002, my first trip to Madtown since 2002. Not only had I not been to Madison since 2002, but I barely spent any time there, and it was late at night. So it was good to see Madison in daylight. It was good to go on campus at Wisconsin in daylight. Lots of stories from the Wisconsin run in Colorado. On top of that, I want to talk about Isaiah Thomas taking a run at SeaTown, another major, major piece of jungle real estate. SeaTown's been so good for this show. This guy's awesome. When are these guys going to learn? I mean, it's one thing back in the day. Remember how I used to say back in the day, man, be careful about Twitter. Be careful about Twitter. It's really dangerous. I used to say things like, never tweet something that you would not say to a reporter because it's one and the same. I mean, back in the day, that made sense. Back in the day, I had to say things like that. I didn't think that I still ought to say things like that right now. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is like, well, wait a minute. You know, just because I said that live, I didn't think that was going to get posted. Just because you said something live to the entire internet, you didn't think that was going to come back. It did. And what he said live was that SeaTown was a bleep hole. And then was shocked that that came back. Let's check out the first emails coming off that long break. Dear Jim, yesterday I once again found myself center stage, fighting off the big cat. He continually attacked from behind, ripping as many holes as he could. However, I successfully fended him off and defeated him on the big stage. I only wish my playing partner would have been as lucky. Sincerely, Siegfried in Vegas. Denlesk's Siamese twin. Wore Alvy sounding the cat alarm every time that feline-loving hipster EP of yours rolls his sleeves up. Hey, Hawk, I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks, and to be honest with you, man, I haven't missed it at all. Listen, just because you haven't heard some of these jokes doesn't mean they're funny right now. Doesn't mean they were ever funny. I mean, I know Hawk's going to come in here during the break and say, like, hey, boss, Jim, Siegfried and Roy, that's pretty funny, right? No, Hawk, that's not funny at all. It wasn't then, it isn't now. Is there any way you can somehow, like, fast forward and get up to speed? Can you somehow go back over the last 10 years and listen to them in triple time and get it caught up to speed? That's not funny. Way to go, Denlesks. You watch Tiger Woods and you think Siegfried and Roy. That's good, man. That's sharp. Dear Jimbo, how many middle-aged Tiger honks injured themselves while fist pumping in their living rooms yesterday? Did Hawk suffer a cardiac arrest when the cat's birdie putt hung on the lip on the 11th? Signed, Casey in New Hampshire. Yeah, I'm not sure how that didn't go down. Not when they were talking about the earth moving with that gallery. You know, I want to say something about the gallery, and this will be part of my take later on. Normally, I've got no time for Tiger fans. They're like the worst. They really are. Yesterday's gallery was awesome. Whole thing was awesome yesterday. And maybe it's just me. And I'm going to reiterate that we don't know any of these guys. We didn't know Tiger then. We sure as hell don't know Tiger now. I don't know whether or not this guy's changed or not. But I find myself liking him a hell of a lot more now than I ever have. If it's real. Nate in Appleton tweets, give me 3 hours of nonstop Wisco love. You know you love my beloved state. Hashtag on Wisconsin. Nate, I did. My whole family did. We loved Wisco. We had a great time in Wisconsin. I won't do it, but I could give you 3 hours of love. We had that much fun in the week that we were there. Man, Eagle River in Madison. From Madison to Aspen. These two things are not like each other. Believe me. In fact, I can't think of two more different things than Madison and Aspen. Not saying which is better, just saying they're both different, and I'll break it down for you a little bit later on. Come on now. How about somebody on the phones? Get up in here. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. I've got Jim Trotter coming up next. Second hour's busy hour, so get in quickly. Trevor Price, Dale Murphy coming up that hour. Third hour's wide open. Summer is here. So is the unbearably hot weather. I mean, my God. It was so hot when I got back. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer months. You know that heat can just suck the life right out of you? So then imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat more than cold can shorten your battery's life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate. That then leads to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now. Have your battery tested. They'll do it free of charge. Free. If it does need replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or your truck, and they'll do it at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Always good to be back, especially after a long two-week run. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. If you're on hold, hang in there. Next hour, Trevor Price, 15-year NFL vet, Dale Murphy, 18-year MLB vet. But right now, we are joined by a reporter and a storyteller for the NFL Network. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Very good friend of the program. Also a celebrity judge at the Turf and Serve Barbecue Championship on Sunday. My guest is Jim Trotter. Jim, what's up? Good morning. How are you?
Romy, how you doing, man? I love that last one.
Dude, you earned that last one. I can't wait to talk to you about that. In fact, it's going to take everything I have not to start with that, but why don't we start, Jim? With the NFL rule changes, they have been one of the big stories of the offseason. What did you make, Jim, of the rule changes when they were first announced?
Well, I understood because the league is big on player safety right now, and they want to avoid any legal lawsuits, obviously, based on concussion-related issues and whatnot. And so in terms of player safety, there's been a big push for that, so we all understood it. The thing that's really interesting to me is that as it relates to the lowering the head to initiate contact rule is, for instance, Anthony Lynn was one of the a handful of coaches who was in New York during that period where they explained this rule to the coaches, to the special teams coaches when they had the special teams meetings, all of that. And he asked very specific questions and whatnot, tried to get a clear understanding of exactly what was going on. And we get to the game Saturday night, and I spoke to him afterwards, and there was one instance where he thought his player was clean on a hit, and he ended up being flagged for it. And so he wanted some clarification from the league again on that. And truly, I think the league would do itself a favor if it came out to not just coaches but the public and explain the thought process behind some of these calls. Because I got to tell you, Jim, I've been at two games so far, and in both of them I saw what I thought to be sort of textbook tackles where the head was up and a flag was thrown.
Jim Trotter joining us. So, Jim, when you went to those games and you talked to defensive players, how do they feel about the rule?
You know, at this point, they understand what the league is trying to do, but they feel like they're in a really tough position because, look, it's an inherently violent game. We all understand that. But with some of these guys, you're having to be retaught to do something different from the way you've done it since the time you were a youth. And in talking to, for instance, Steve Wilks, the Cardinals coach after, he said it's going to take time. And he said it's going to start down at the youth level because you've got to start teaching it there, you know, head up, face mask up, see what you hit. And then it's got to go to the high school level and then the college level, and then it flows up to the NFL. So you're trying to retrain some of these players to do something that's really become rote memory for them also. So it's going to be a difficult process. And part of this is, look, the league is essentially saying if your head is up, if your face mask hits whatever it is you're tackling, you're okay. But then you saw in the Cardinals game there was one instance where the safety looked to be in a great position. His head appeared to be up. He made the tackle, and the flag was thrown from behind the play. So there's just a little bit of confusion now. Is the league going to throw more penalty flags in the preseason than it will in the regular season? Possibly, you know, to try and get people's attention, and then they'll scale it back. But my fear is, and it's not just my fear, it's talking to coaches as well, is that at some point in a big game, in a big moment where everything is on the line, you're going to have a flag thrown for this. And there's going to be a lot of discussion and debate and emotion about whether it was the right or the wrong call.
Jim Trotter joining us. All right, Jim, one last thought then. I mean, certainly it would behoove the league to clarify this so everybody understands exactly what we're dealing with. Is clarification going to be enough, or do you expect the helmet rule will be changed before the start of the season?
I don't think it's going to be changed. I think it's here to stay. Look, the league is serious about player safety now, and they understand that the game has to change to protect these players. When you look at the data in terms of concussions and how that number is rising, they are concerned and they're serious about this. So for all of us who want to grouse and say this isn't the football we grew up with, we may be right, but it's not going to change. So the best thing that players can do is adjust to this. The question becomes, what are you adjusting to, and how is it being called? They just want consistency, I believe, ultimately, in how this is going to be called. And right now, early on, there doesn't appear to be that consistency.
Jim Trotter, NFL writer for NFL Media, joining us right now. All right, Jim, what about the Browns? They have said that their plan has been for Tyrod Taylor to be their starter. I have long maintained this guy just does not get the respect that he deserves as a player. So what's your sense as to how the Browns are feeling about their quarterback situation, especially after seeing how Baker Mayfield played?
No, they feel really good about it. You know, look, they really like Tyrod Taylor, and I know Todd Haley loves him and is really excited about coaching him. For Baker, that was a really strong debut, you know, and what I heard from Browns people that I talked to is that, one, Baker's unafraid. You know, when he gets in that pocket, he's not afraid to pull the trigger, and he has ultimate confidence, and they like that. And so, you know, the stage, as one person said to me, wasn't too big for him. The moment wasn't too big, even in his first game, and I know it's a preseason game, but there are little things you see with that. So they're very excited about their situation at quarterback. And how strange is that, Jim? And we're talking about the Cleveland Browns
right,
being excited about, you know, their quarterback position, considering how many quarterbacks they've gone through since the franchise return.
How strange. Weirdest thing ever. Jim Trotter joining us. Jim, I want to ask you about a piece that you have up about Bobby Beathard. We have a lot of listeners in San Diego on 97.3 The Fan. You've got an excellent piece on the induction of Bobby Beathard into the Hall of Fame and his battle with Alzheimer's. What is your sense as to what that moment meant to him and his family?
Well, I can tell you this. It meant an awful lot to his family just because, obviously, they, like a lot of people, felt that this was something that Bobby has deserved for some time. I can't speak to how much Bobby really ultimately understands the moment. You know, as some family member said to me, in his mind, he believed he was already in the Hall of Fame from the standpoint of perhaps he conflated two moments where he was inducted into the, you know, Washington's Ring of Honor, to then coming to Canton several times for inductions for former players or coaches that he was responsible for hiring or drafting. So from that standpoint, if he did conflate those two things, you can see, because he said a couple different times, you know, what's the fuss about? I'm already in. But what it was more for me, Jim, was an opportunity to kind of step away from football and to see really this human side, and the emotion of this, and to see what that disease does to people. You know, Bobby's not the only one obviously going through it, and there are other longtime iconic names, in my opinion, in this game who are dealing with this. And so I'm not going to lie to you. It was a hard column to write from the standpoint I've known Bobby since, for me, 96, when I started covering the Chargers. And I remember how vibrant his personality was then, what a health nut he was in terms of biking and swimming and all those sorts of things. And so to kind of see that taken away from him, and not because he can't do it, but, you know, as his wife said to me at one point, he hasn't been in the water in 2 years, and it's not because he can't, it's because each day he thinks he's already been in the water. When she says to him, why don't you go for a swim, and he says, I already did, and he hadn't. So it's tough, but the thing that was good, and the thing I tried to do at least with that column, was to end on something positive and to hear his family talking about how there was sort of a reawakening in him when he was there, because his long-term memory is really good. And so to be around all the guys again and to see him light up in that way and to share some of those old stories, that was a real positive of the moment.
Well done. Jim Trotter joining us. All right, Jim, before I let you go, as I mentioned off the very top, you are serving as a celebrity judge for the Turf and Surf Barbecue Championship at Del Mar on Sunday. Now, you've had some really nice honors over the course of your career. They're all richly deserved, but where does this one rank among your career highlights?
Man, this is awesome, Jim, because it's a buddy of mine is the one who started it, Sean Walchip, and they do a great job out there. And look, who wouldn't be happy to be a judge at a barbecue contest, you know, all you can eat, that sort of thing. So for me, it's a chance to support a friend. It's a chance to get some good eats. And it's a chance to sort of just give back and you know, be a good community guy. So I invite everyone to come on out to, I went last year. It was tremendous. The food is great. and to have an opportunity to put my stamp on it on, you know, which dish I think is the best. I'm excited about it. So it's awesome. You got to come on down, Romy.
I know, right? I'm way overdue for that Del Mar run. I've got to do that. So Jim Trotter, reporter and storyteller for the NFL Network. He's also a Hall of Fame voter. Make sure you know about his book. He's the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Jim, great to have you back. Appreciate you. Have a great time this weekend.
All right, Romy. Thanks for having me, man.
Great talking to you, Jim. Thank you very much. Much respect. Jim Trotter, he is one of the best in the business and a very good friend of the program. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Second hour is busy. Jump in right now. Now is your opportunity. Hit me up on Twitter. Shoot me an email. Call the program. Trevor Price. He's fired up. He's ready to roll. He's next hour. Dale Murphy is next hour. My thoughts on Tigers still ahead. Got to talk to you about Wisconsin. The Wisconsin run. We did not go overseas. We did not go to Mexico. We did not go to Jamaica. We did not go to London. I mean, not to be a bag about these things. We try and expose our kids to as many different places and different things as possible, including Wisconsin. Was it the right call or not? That's coming up later on. But first, time now for a sports update. Here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I think you all know that Monday is an ATP day, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you do is you go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit a question there, listen later on, I might answer one of yours, and you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so I started the show by talking about Brooks Koepka. I said I had to make a decision. Do I talk about the better story or the better player? Do I talk about the guy who won or the guy who came in second? I talked about the guy who won. I'll get to the guy who came in second a little bit later on. So a number of big things going on right now. You want to talk about that tournament. You want to talk about whether or not I got fat in Wisconsin.
Fat?
If you're near a TV, just look. And the answer is yes, of course. Who doesn't go to Wisconsin for a week and not come back just a little bit fatter? Listen, what I needed, and I need time to lay out what that week was like, because there was a lot more to that week than jamming copious amounts of grub down my pie hole and as many spotted cows as I could down my pie hole. There was a lot more to that week. But what I now know that I did not know when I got to Wisco is I needed to have a plan. Now, I thought that I had a plan. You need to go into a situation like that with a real plan. I thought I had a plan, but you know what they say about that? Wasn't it Mike Tyson? Didn't Mike Tyson have that famous saying about a plan? Everybody's got a plan until they jam 5 pancakes down their face. Go to my Instagram page. If you haven't seen that yet, and I'm not looking to do that just to get you to follow along, although you should follow along. Go to my Instagram page, and you can see how that trip sets up and the kind of food that I ate. Like, I'm looking at it myself right now. Go to my Instagram account. The first picture is of the Smack Shack. That's in the Minneapolis airport. But my first Wisco picture is this beautiful, serene lake. It's Cranberry Lake. And I'm just trying to set the stage. Wow, Wisco is amazing. Like, I'm a California native, and I've seen some pretty amazing lakes in Cali, but nothing like this. I mean, these lakes in Wisconsin all live up to the hype. But then the grub started. Then it was on. Picture number one, cheese curds. Lots of cheese curds. A super fat Bloody Mary to the left, a spotted cow to the right, cheese curds right there in the middle. Then it was on, off and running. Very next pick, big fat pancakes. And every one of these restaurants, every one of these diners, they all have a story. They all have a dish. And the locals can't wait to get you to every single one of them. Never mind that there's an hour wait to get into all of them. So cheese curds to gigantic pancakes. And the third picture I have up is like this scramble with hash browns and rye toast. And at that point, my post is something along the lines of, I got to get the hell out of here. I have to get the hell out of Wisconsin. So to answer your question, did I get fat? Hell yes, I got fat.
Fat boy, how many you got, baby?
I mean, I'm feeling like I gained a pound an hour while I was there. And I'm telling you, man, they come on faster and easier as you get older than ever before. And they're tougher and tougher to get off, especially when you try and get them off at altitude the way I did. I mean, you're all about it. Look at these emails. Hey, Rome, while you were gone, your guest host did the heavy lifting. Now that you're back, all do the heavy lifting. Regards, Rome's Scale. Stephen PHX, War Rome having Paula Deen on today to discuss her favorite hash brown recipes. Go ahead, Alvin, bring it on. It's fair. I wonder if we can get to PD to talk hash browns. As far as me, as far as regards Rome Scale, that would imply that I got on Rome Scale. Rome's not getting anywhere near Rome Scale anytime soon because Rome already knows. With the NFL season coming up, got to slam into some suits. I'm going to be walking around SoCal today looking for guys who do lipo out of their back trunks. Yo, man, cut me. Cut me, Mick. Cut me, Mick. This says, War Rome. Inhaling all those cheese curds, pancakes, and beer brats while vacationing in Fatsconsin. Signed, Cankles. Matt in Tucson, forgot about the brats. You can't go anywhere. Bring it on, Alvin. It's fair, man. It's fine and it's fair. Can't go anywhere without a brat. Or can't go anywhere and not run into a brat. I want to say the last brat, legitimate brat, real bratwurst that I had was tailgating before the NFC Championship game back in the day at Lambeau. I mean, I'm talking about a real brat, a legitimate bratwurst. I don't think I had one in 20 freaking years. I don't think I went 20 hours in Wisconsin without having one. Every day.
Yeah, boy.
I don't know, man. You get there and you become one of them. And there's no getting around it. Dear Jim, we are delighted to know that you enjoyed both your vacation and your culinary excursion to America's Dairyland. Though we did not get a chance to meet up on this trip, maybe our paths will cross the next time around. Take care. All the best. The cardiology team at UW-Madison Hospital. Signed, Caleb in Green Bay. War Cholesterol. Nice to know the folks there are waiting for us. Man, it was tough. Man, you're all about it, right? Hey, Rome, welcome back. The one question we have after your visit to Wisconsin, did you get fat?
Fat?
We know the temptation of guzzling cheese and sitting in trees is their national pastime. Just making sure you're okay. Sign the clones. Chris, no longer in St. Pete. War Outside Sales, War Wisconsin Clone Stalker Nation. Didn't get stalked. Did get fat. It's inevitable. I mean, what are you going to do? Once again, you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. I've tried for years. You cannot out-exercise a bad diet. And last week, I had the worst diet ever. Actually, last week wasn't that bad. One more pick on that Instagram page. When we finally left Madison and went to Colorado and went to Aspen, the first thing I did was get a big pile of kale to try and undo the damage that I had done the week before in Wisco. I've got a feeling it's going to take a hell of a lot longer than 1 week to undo that damage. I mean, totally different look and feel to this year's Rome summer vacation. And I've given you a taste. One more email. And remember, next hour's busy. You want to call right now. I've got Trevor Price coming up next hour. Former MLB great Dale Murphy coming up next hour. This email reads, "Whoa, Jimmy. Hawk is the first dude that I've ever seen to look weirder without his porn stash than when he was actually rocking it. Please tell him to grow that dirt back on his lip pronto. Or are you coming back to the studio and shouting at him, Catboy! Catboy!
What's good, boy, baby? How many you got, baby?
What's good, baby? Catboy!
Catboy!
War Tiger. Making Koepka's girl sweat more after the final round yesterday than Brooks did during it. Good one, Jed. That's pretty good, Jed. Yeah, I don't think Brooks is sweating that. In fact, that's my whole take about Koepka. This guy didn't sweat anything. This dude is a monster. Two majors this year, three in the last 14 months, three in the last six. Again, from one tour victory to the Hall of Fame in 14 months. What's more impressive, that? I got a poll question for you. Put it up on the internet. A poll question. San Diego. Now listen, what's more impressive? A guy going from one tour win to the Hall of Fame in 14 months, or a guy going from not being able to pick up a bat to being within one shot of a major on the back nine a year later? I mean, it was not that long ago that Tiger Woods was talking to the cops, unaware of what state he was in. And now this guy is competing on a Sunday for a major. Because what's that thing about Tiger? The one thing that everybody kept cracking him for, myself included, is this guy can't shoot low on a Sunday. He can't shoot low on a Sunday in a major. So this guy's never going to win. Well, he shot 64 on a Sunday in a major and had a real good look at it. And, of course, since I'm owning it, in owning how much grub I slammed down my gullet, the Canadians are in. Tyler in Edmonton. He tweets, "I didn't believe you, so I tuned into the show on TV. And for a second, I actually thought Caleb was guest hosting." Yeah, I'm owning it. You can't hide. You can't hide. I'm in front of cameras, right? That's what I feel like. That's what I sound like. That's what I look like. I'll take care of it now. I'll take care of it. Yeah, I'll say this. I don't even know what the number is because, like I said, I didn't get near the Rome scale. I just know this. It used to be that I could pick up 10 and I could drop 10 pretty quickly. Now I can pick up 10 and it's tough to get rid of it. Hell, are you kidding? You want to know what my life is? My life used to be about gaining 5 every weekend and losing 5 the entire week. I would do that every single weekend. I mean, that was just par for the course. That was standard operating procedure. Get to the weekend, go hard. Get to Monday, go even harder the other way. So Tyler in Edmonton's in. Matt in Vancouver is in. Next vacation, up here to balance you out. That's fair too. And Matt, I've been to Vancouver, not in a long time. But in fact, before we had kids, Janet and I went to Vancouver. Man, that is a beautiful town. Beautiful town. Beautiful city. I might take you up on that, Matt. Because if I go back to Wisco, man, there may not be any coming back. I might be one of them. I might be Caleb. Nice to see that phones work underground. Nice to see that Twitter works from the grave after what Brad and Corona did to those two bros. Nice to know they're still around. 1-800-636-8686. Got to keep it in Wisco. All Wisco Radio. We go to Green Bay. Kyle in Green Bay. Kyle, what's going on? How are you?
Romy, how's it going? I think you got to come back to Green Bay because you got the Green Bay clone stock coming up. Week one against the Bears. I'm getting 4 kegs this year. And I'm going to get you some Heineken, some personal Heineken kegs. I'm getting a Jim Rome cutout. We got a Facebook event page. We got almost 200 RSVPs already. It is going to be wild. We're going to have at least 15, 20 clones. So, I mean, you got to come back and finish the Wisconsin trip home.
Hey, bro, do you still live in your car?
Do I still live in my car? No, I got, sadly, I got my own place. As most of the clones think I do not, but yes.
Good, man. Good. Good looking out. All right, let me talk to you about that, Kyle. Thank you very much. He did clone stock last year where in Green Bay he had a bunch of guys together to celebrate the show. A clone stock. And he had a couple of kegs. And he had my face on those kegs. And he says he's going to bring it back this year, and he's going to have 4 kegs. And at least 15 to 20 clones will be there. And he's going to have Heineken for me. Kyle, as long as it's Heineken Light. I've never been a light beer dude. I am now. In fact, I just went straight vodka after a while. Too many calories in beer. You have to make tough choices when you're in Wisco. Choices like 8 pancakes or 38 cheese curds. What a place, Wisconsin. So again, we started off in a place called Eagle River, which was amazing. I'll have that for you a little bit later on. We went to Madison and then jumped over to Colorado for a few days, and now I'm back home. Fat, but motivated. Fat, but fired up. Trevor Price coming up next hour. He's fired up. Did on a lot of different topics. Dale Murphy's coming up. I want to talk about IT. IT got loose on Instagram Live. It did not go well for him. I can't believe we're still talking about social. Talking about social? It had a treat. Social? We are. I have advice once again for everybody using social media. That's coming up in hour number two.
Practice.
And more of your telephone calls. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Great to be back. Do not go anywhere.